The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, James and Betty look back at all that God has brought them through as they celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference.
And I'd gotten that way. I had sermons from the Word, but the Word wasn't in me. It wasn't carrying me. I carried it. It didn't carry me. Once the Word was consumed by me, and that was my restoration process after I'd crashed and burned. Because the burning inside was consuming me, and I wanted to die, and God set me free.
It is exciting to know that you are going to get to be in the Awaken Now Conference. Many of you who were there, you're excited. You're going to be hearing these incredible speakers and knowing that the Awaken Now Conference is available. This is the transcripts, Betty, and we have got the DVDs and the CDs, and we're going to tell you how you can get them. As you know, we don't sell products on Life Today Television, but we give gifts to those of you who help us change lives with acts of compassion and love. And Betty, we are right now giving people not only the water of life in truth, but also water for life. So we'll give you information in a little while how you can get the Awaken Now conference tapes, DVDs and CDs. Betty, the one they're going to hear today is when you shared your heart, and it was obvious. Betty's been on a pretty heavy journey this year that your prayers have lifted her. And then I come and share and minister very directly to you, the viewers, as well as the people who were in the audience, in the auditorium. We join that conference.
Any kind of sound you can imagine.
And I really didn't.
Wow, this is kind of hard to follow, but I'll try. First of all, thank you all so much for being here. What a blessing. I mean, it's so fun to be in the house of the Lord with His children, isn't it? It's just wonderful. I know James has, with heartfelt sharing about our daughter, Robin. I don't want to bring you down. That's not what I'm going to do, but I just want to give you a little portion of the testimony that God's been working in my heart in these last months. When Robin passed away, you can imagine the mother of a heart, the heart of a mother just being devastated and heartbroken. This mother fought the battle with her daughter as hard as a mother could fight. I gave it all I had, and God was right in the middle of all of it. God never left me. I am not disappointed in God. He did not fail me in any way. He was right there in the center of the journey. Well, God has her with Him right now. I miss her a lot, but who better could she be with than with Jesus, you know? She's happy, she's well, and as she said all along the journey, Mom, I win, and she did. She won that battle, and she's with Him. But as that journey ended for her here on earth, a new journey began for this mother that never wanted to be on this part of the journey. But here I am, right in the middle of it. And as we came away from the service of Robin, the celebration time of her being going to be with the Lord, when I got back home, God said, this is what I want you to do. You're in the recovery room right now, and I'm right there with you. I want you to journal what's going on in your heart. And so I began to journal, and I first of all, of course, tears flowed like every time I thought of my daughter. Tears flowed every time I saw something that reminded me of her. And they still do. But as I was going through this recovery time with the Lord, He let me express through my journaling what the hurt was. I mean, there were days when I'd just be on my face and say, God, I can't go on. This heartache is too much. And He said, no, I'm here. I'm right here. And there were times when he had let me be angry. He had let me express that anger. He had let me express that frustration and that wanting to quit spirit. You know, just wanting to go in a corner and hide and or either say, oh, this has got to be a terrible nightmare. I will wake up in a moment. God said, this is real, but I'm here. And as he has taken me through this journey, this recovery, and I've been able to pin down in my journal the things that were going on in my heart, and I don't have time to express them all to you, and I may never be able to, but this was part of my healing for me at this moment. And God just was almost quiet, and he'd say, he would listen because he knew what was going on. And he let me, and there were times when I'd just be victorious, and I'd say, okay, God, this is good. And the next moment I'd turn around and I'd just be weeping and weeping and weeping. And he didn't condemn me. He didn't say, okay, girl, straighten up, get over that. No, he put all these emotions in me. He put all these feelings in me. He said, just go with it. Go with it. It's part of your healing. And I have to tell you that this week when we came, when the first night, Thursday night, and the praise music, I got to confess my biggest concern for being here and in the service was during the worship time, because thus far, as much as I had thanked God and I knew he was walking through this pain with me, when it would come to worship time at church, I could not bear it, because all I could think of, and the tears would come, would be Robin. The other night, sitting over here, God said, I'm walking you through the shadow of death, but I want to show you some light because I'm here with you. For the first time since Robin died and went to be with Jesus, I was able to stand over here and my thoughts were on him, and I was able to praise him and be joyful in him. And he is so constantly with us. I just want people that go through hurt and pain. And if that's one thing I learned coming out of this is, yes, we want to be comforters to those that are hurting. Friends and family are very important in these times. But when you experience that pain yourself, you know what it feels like. And you really can express the love of Jesus that he put in me as he's healing my heart, that he wants to give it to others. And that's where I see God taking me is, now you know, go and share it. God bless you all. We love you so much.
Listen, when God told me to sit down, I obeyed him. Now, I want you to understand why he told me to, because it really took me a couple of years. I started preaching my crusades sitting down. Jerry Falwell didn't have anything but those great big chairs, so when I went back to Thomas Road, I sat on the edge of the platform. I went to Atlanta for a citywide meeting, played the whole thing, sitting on the edge of the platform. I don't want to be in God's way. That wasn't what God was saying. He said, I want you to spend the rest of your life, don't you miss this, doing what every one of you can do. He said, I want you to spend the rest of your life sitting at my feet, listening to my word. And he said, you're going to be more effective sitting down than standing up, because I'm going to show you what it looks like to be a servant. And the servants are the greatest in the kingdom. I have met with many world leaders. I am meeting with church leaders from every realm that you could imagine. And Sammy, am I not meeting with them sitting down? Always. I have become a servant. Now, here's the thing I don't want you to miss. You may think, well, I bet it's exciting he preached those 200,000 people and they went crazy. And I bet it's great you preaching. I preached to two different crowds of over a million. I bet you thought that was great. And man, James, to think that you've influenced so many people's lives. Can I tell you the most fun thing we ever do? Holding little children. Do you realize on the mission field, many of those children you see me holding, do you know how they got in my lap? I prayed them in my lap. Do you know the picture I treasure the most? It's the Rwandan orphans who had crawled out from under the mangled bodies of their parents who had been cut to pieces with a machete. And had they not been under those dead bodies, they would have thought they were dead also, but they couldn't see them. Those little children were terrified of adults, and they were really terrified of white people.
But I can show you what they did when I went into Rwanda with skulls and skeletons and bodies laying everywhere. I can show you. A gifted black artist, the greatest pencil ink sketch artist in the world, painted a picture of me with those children. It's hanging when you enter into our office building, our medium. All those little children in my lap. I just sat down and they started coming, getting my arm. Didn't they, Peter? You remember how we all emptied our pockets? Because we didn't have any money. We went over there where everybody's being killed. You couldn't even land there. We couldn't land there. We had to go into another country and come over. And you told me how scary it was. But we dumped everything we had on the table, didn't we? They came. I'm sitting there. Millions of people speak to millions of leaders. The most fun thing I've ever done is what you can do every day. Love somebody. Overlooked. I pull in Starbucks. They know, there he is. There's the witness. He loves us. There's the guy with the little dachshund in his lap that wants some whipped cream. He won't put on his drink. He loves everybody. You can do that. You don't have to go to a coffee shop to do it. Just get your eyes open and start looking. You got it? God so much wants to speak through us as a body to the people who need to hear. What you have heard in this conference, if you take out and you take the things that Andy and I said, Andy, do you realize when you put those notes up there, you said you're a noticer. I said, you're much more than a noticer. You're a noticer with discernment. You recognize what should be noticed, the way it should be noticed, how it should be applied and processed. And that gift you've got to expand. You needed to take us from think and show us what will shape our thinking. What is it that renews our mind? We present our bodies totally, a living sacrifice, yielded clay in the potter's hand. And then we're transformed through the power of the word, the reliable standard by the what? Renewing of our mind. It is the truth that transforms our thinking. Do you know that you can get so in this word? And I'm telling you, I know. Would you look? I still pick this Bible up and carry it around. It's been rebound twice. All right, you see that? 10 to 12 hours a day for approximately 16 to 18 months. I poured over this after my deliverance because I had sermons, but I didn't have the word in me anymore. And Josh Huffman, you remember this. When people got so hungry for the word, just like you and your wife, and they're eating the word, and they're business people, and hundreds of people working for them, big corporations, God's changing their life. And I said, let me tell you how full of the word you ought to get. You don't go in like little babies waiting for somebody to feed them some scriptural pablum and just sit there and say, come on, give me the little plunger. We had these little things you used to shoot the little baby food in with. And first time I fed Rhonda, I thought it was fun. I just go, and she'd go, and so help me, that's the way church folks come. They come in and sit down and say, and then they go, and they're bloated mean. Because they don't eat the word, not gotten that way. I had sermons from the word, but the word wasn't in me. It wasn't carrying me. I carried it. It didn't carry me. Once the word was consumed by me, and that was my restoration process after I'd crashed and burned. Because the burning inside was consuming me. And I wanted to die, and God set me free. And I needed my mind renewed, and I still do continually. And I would say to the people, I want you to fall so in love with the word. I said, our preachers ought to be able to stand up and say a verse and just point. We don't need preachers. We just need pointers. And I would say, open to a verse, and we didn't have screens, and you'd see people open their Bibles, and all of a sudden, the whole church would shout, and the preacher never said another word except point. The word was alive. It leaped off the page and lodged in their hearts. That's how you're to go home. Yes, you ought to listen to these messages again, because chances are, if you're like me, I don't have time to write down all that stuff because I just missed three other great statements. It's like you like the Word of God. I like this verse. Well, God liked the one before it and after it. Read it sometime. At different times, you'll find out it comes alive. Are you listening to me? I'm not interested in sending a bunch of folks out of here that like the 50-year anniversary conference. Let's wait another 50 years. We'll have another one. Now, unless he comes, I'll probably still be here. Obviously, Betty will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sitting down? I mean, I'm trying to talk to you a little bit like a father. I'm sorry I talk loud, but you're way back there. Go out of here and get full of the word so that you no longer carry it, it carries you. And then let it be released like a river of love and life. And don't look at anybody like a scalp or a notch on your spiritual gun stock. You're not going out and collecting converts. You're going out and setting captives free because you've got the song of a soul set free. Bow your heads. Jesus, I know I talk loud a lot. Father, you know I do too. And I got to tell you, Father, I know you can speak like thunder, but you sure do talk soft to me a lot. And I don't ever want to misinterpret authority as being loud noise and how high I can shout or raise my voice. I don't think the people feel that. I think it's just there's something inside me that I get so full of the passion and zeal of what you put in my heart that I just can't seem to hold it back. And if I need to learn to hold it back, show me, because I will. But Lord, the thing I want to just say thank you is what a wonderful Father you are. How you told me I can come boldly to your throne because it's a grace throne. And I don't have to be a beggar. So, Father, I'm coming to you like your child in behalf of all your children standing here, many of whom are concerned about their children and their neighbors, and rightly so. So, God, I ask first of all that you would move mightily in answer to their prayers. And would you move on our hearts to be totally committed to being an answer to your prayer? That we be one with your Father like you are? And that we really be sanctified and purified in truth, not divided by it, brutalized and beat up with it, but consecrated by it, transformed by it, until we have the unity of the Spirit and we're perfected in unity so the world will know we really are your family. I want all these people to go out of here and you know, there go my children. I want you to give this crowd a standing ovation, Jesus. Just like you did Stephen, because you know that what was in Stephen was about to come alive in Saul of Tarsus, the most unlikely in the community. You go back and through these people, you stand up the most unlikelies. The most overlooked, the most forgotten, the most rebellious, the most downtrodden, the most defeated. I mean, go back and resurrect their churches. Resurrect their ministers. And God, I believe that the laity, men and women, are going to be the key to waking up the preachers and the priests in both the Catholic and Protestant community. Not because they scold their priests or their pastors, but because they show them the light and the life and the glory and the truth and the name above every name. So, Lord, we impart to them not just the blessing that's on us, but the blessing that's on you, Jesus. We impart it to everybody in this room. Would you just say, I receive it gladly. I am yielded to your will. A vessel through which you can flow your life. Flow it freely. Transform me. Renew my mind with the power of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I'm telling you, you know, you're going to get the entire message. We can only give you clips of most all the messages, but you want to get it all. I hope you get it on DVD. And we're asking you to make a gift to help us drill water wells, 500 of them. $144 gives 30 people water the rest of their life. For every gift over $100, you ask for the DVDs, the CDs, and you will also get the written transcript of the messages from each one of our speakers, and you will get them in their entirety. We can't get all of that on a single Life Today program, but we will send it to you in this incredible series. Now, I want you to see what we do to totally transform lives with expressions of undeniable love and compassion.
Village life might look primitive to the outside world, but to these villagers, the use of ox-drawn carts has been a way of life for centuries. Seeing content babies swaying quietly in a cool breeze paints a picture of what one might call a calm and peaceful existence. But there's an unsettling dimension to their lives that is dark and ominous. It's as if literally looking into the face of death. What is it they see? Water. It's what they don't see in this water that produces death. It's the unseen parasites and waterborne organisms that will attack the body and, if untreated, can cause death within 3 to 5 days. The ravages of a waterborne disease in a young child's vital organs are excruciating, as this grandmother knows all too well. These villagers are a resilient people. Even when faced with tragedies like this, they continue to carry on as normal a life as possible. Facing the reality of losing a child because a mother or grandmother does not have safe water to give them is unthinkable for most of us. Let's be the ones to make a difference for these precious mothers and help them see life, not death.
Well, you know, when I see the heartache and the pain, sometimes, Betty, I feel like, you know, we don't have the ability to put in words what needs to be said in behalf of those who suffer and who die. And we have been, you know, appealing the needs of people for years, and we've watched love meet the need. But how do we ever really feel like we're getting across effectively enough when the need's so great?
Well, James, we just know that we have loving supporters that do reach out and join with us and help us. And if you haven't been before, I hope you will start now, because we need your help. Anytime that there's a need that we can present that we know will bring hope and love and a cure to disease such as this, a lack of clean water, it's a simple solution. They need the water well so that these precious children that these mothers love so much and would die for themselves, they need our help. These mothers need our help, James. They don't have anything else they can do. They've done all they know they can do to help their children.
I think as a grandparent and as a parent, I think I do feel that I can come to you representing the heartache of parents, of grandparents when they lose a loved one. And we're asking you to provide the only answer. And for them, in their particular circumstances, the answer is a perfect one. It's a certain one. It's clean water. Every one of the 500 areas that we have surveyed with our missionaries, we know definitely there is water. We know that in most areas, it's relatively shallow. That would be below 200 or 250 feet. Sometimes 150 to 175. Sometimes we know there's a pretty good level of water because boreholes confirm it, where they dug down just a narrow little borehole and found water, but it gets filthy and contaminated because there's no way to protect it. So we give them a cased and cased with concrete and steel structure that protects the water shaft down to the water. And we give them a mechanical pump. If you wonder why we don't give them electric pumps, in so many areas, even where there is electricity, which many of the areas where we work there is not, but even where there is electricity in these third world countries, it's intermittent. It'll be off for hours at a time, almost every 24-hour cycle, sometimes days. So we give them something that children can activate and they can get the water. Our goal, 500 wells. Could you drill one of them? Could you give 1,200 or 2,400? And pray that another person or three people join you. $48 will give 10 people water for the rest of their life. 144 will give 30 water the rest of their life. Would you dial the number or go online and make the largest gift you can? We want to send you the Awaken Now conference tapes to be a blessing to you and to inspire you. And yes, to awaken us all to the purpose and will of God for us today. Thank you so much for making that call and making that gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers, proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with a companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, Betty and I have the beautiful bronzes. We have every one of them. I saw today two of the same one, because I know we went back and gave another gift, and I know we ought to give the other bronze to someone that just be a blessing to them as a gift. But this is brand new, and this is a glass sculpture, incredible art piece, The Blessing, and that's what we want to be. We are here as the family of God to bless the nations and people of the world. So thank you for making a gift of $1,200 or more, and pray three join you, or a well, and any gift, ask for the CDs, a gift of over $100 to DVDs. And I think you'll want to play many of these in your Bible studies, neighborhood studies, or to the whole church. Thank you so much for helping give water for life so we can point people to the water of life.
Tomorrow on Life Today, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Beth Moore. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.